I'm Frank Vaughn. It is January 6th, 2025, and Justin Trudeau has prorogued Parliament until March 24th, and he'll step down as Prime Minister sometime in the future. Now, before I get into that and the implications of that, I just want to point out to everybody who drinks coffee, if you drink more than 2 cups of coffee a day and you decide to stop drinking coffee, you're going to learn some painful lessons about life. So if the world comes to an end and the supply chain breaks down, make sure you've got enough coffee on hand so that you can wean yourself off it, because the headaches are abysmal as you try to reclaim sovereignty over your body, fasting, quitting coffee, all this stuff. Keep some coffee on hand. Justin Trudeau is not the biggest problem that Canada has. It is the entire edifice of the Liberal Party and the NDP coalition partners, virtual coalition. I mean, it's the same thing. And these people have broke this country. So I am not going to celebrate the end of Justin Trudeau sometime in the future, because this move to prorogue Parliament now, not only, and this is actually the good news, this is the silver lining, all of the legislative work, if you want to call it work, all the legislative work that these guys have engaged in to further damage and destroy this country and turn it into a top-down totalitarian nation, it's not even a nation, a top-down totalitarian post-national state. That's how they refer to it, whether it's the internet censorship bill or any of the bills that were before the Senate or the House. They die. Doesn't undo any of the problems they already managed to get passed through the House. It doesn't undo the order in councils. It doesn't undo the fact that they've decided to raise the capital gains tax. They can't get it through Parliament. So the Canada Revenue Agency is just implementing the tax rise without a vote in Parliament. Like, things, the bureaucracy is running this country. And this is the main point. At a time when Donald Trump is about to assume the presidency and has gathered around himself many anti-establishment figures which are about to flip the establishment on its head. They're about to become the establishment. He's put Canada squarely in the crosshairs of American foreign policy. And we're not going to have a government for the first 2 months he's in office. Trudeau is leaving us leaderless without a functional civilian, quasi-civilian, because I've talked before on this channel about how pathetic the Canadian governing system is, how little we have as citizens. We get to get taxed, some of the highest taxes in the world, and yet we have some of the highest poverty rates in the world, and we don't even get a say. We can't pull these guys down. This charade, him stepping aside and proroguing Parliament, this charade is something that we cannot stop. We have no power to stop. But back to the point. At a moment when Canadian sovereignty has been made mock of, has been made a joke of, we have no international partners who have bothered to do anything but laugh at the joke the Trump administration is making of our nation, this man, this narcissistic, pathetic man, and the party that supported him are going to leave us leaderless, without a government, as he probably goes skiing for the rest of the winter. The irresponsibility, as I'm going to quote Pierre Poilievre from the interview with Jordan Peterson, and this is part of the reason I brought up the coffee, because the day after the interview, I wanted to get up. I got up and I showered and I did my hair. People ask, how do you do your hair? I wash it and I let it dry. That's how I do my hair. I got up, I did my hair, I did my makeup, which doesn't exist, and I was going to make a video responding to that interview because I thought it was really good, and I thought it was a good indication of how the Conservative Party of Canada has changed. He never mentioned Erin O'Toole once, but he did condemn and in detail talk about Erin O'Toole's leadership style. And I thought that was very instructive. In politics, you really need to listen. You need to listen to what's said. You need to listen to what's not said in order to discern what the good news is. But I got up and I showered, I did my hair and did the whole thing. And then I ended up, because I decided to stop drinking coffee, I laid on the couch and I pretty much slept the rest of the day away. And then the next day I had a splitting headache and I slept most of that day away. And then the third day was the same thing. Like, and that bleeds into yesterday. And I'm telling you folks, if the supply chain is disrupted, you got to have enough coffee on hand to wean yourself off. And I'm looking at you people who drink two or three extra large coffees from Timmy's a day. And I know most of the people watching this probably don't even go to Timmy's anymore. But like I used to drink probably a liter and a half of coffee just because I enjoyed it, especially while I was fasting. It's just something to break the monotony. Man, you don't realize how dependent you are on this stuff. It is a powerful drug that's just, it's in every single store. It's a psychedelic. The first time that you drank coffee, the first time you drank it, you got high as all get out. And that's why you drink it every day, because of that first time. But you developed a tolerance to it really quick, and you forgot what it felt like. So coffee should be a tool on the shelf. When you really want one, you have one, and it's going to speed you up. It's going to get you going. It's a powerful psychedelic. But we're all drinking it every day. It's just crazy to me. And this is the second time I've gone through this experience. I did 10 days before. This time, I swear, I am not going back to drinking coffee every day. But anyway, that being said, hopefully somebody gets some utility out of that advice, because some of the best stuff that people have ever said about any of the work I've done over all the years is the stuff about maximizing their resilience, having the information to stay away from the medical experiment when it was ongoing. Those are the really meaningful things. And I'd like to add this to the list. If you drink a lot of coffee, it's worthwhile to start weaning yourself off it so you can actually get the utility out of it again. Because right now you're just drinking it to maintain yourself, because it's replaced some of the chemical balance in your head. Anyway, what Pierre said in the interview, towards the end of the interview, was 41 million people. 41 million people, I'm not going to remember the exact quote. It's 41 million people don't have time to wait around while this party fixes its shit. Something along those lines. And I never really heard other than Justin Trudeau himself, it was really funny seeing liberals freak out about the fact that he said the word shit, let alone that he went on Jordan Peterson. They made a big stink, including Jagmeet Singh, about the fact that there was a pro-life advertiser. If you can be anti-life, if you can be in favor of killing babies, why can't somebody be in favor of actually creating families and having better demography and, you know, the miracle of childbirth and family? It's actually amazing, folks. It's the single best experience I've ever had in my life. Why can't people advocate for that? Why is that such an extreme thing to be pro-life? It's so absurd to me that they talk about the phrase pro-life in such demeaning terms, as though demons are about to be unleashed on the earth if we allow people to express themselves in favor of not killing babies. Look, I'm not going to argue pro-life or anti-life right now in any way, because I don't want to get into that. But it's like, how did we get to this point where we celebrate this thing, where we celebrate the literal death of hundreds of thousands of lives that just never make it into the world? And it's supposed to be a bad thing when somebody draws attention to that? I'm not looking to take away the rights of anybody, but this culture of death is really sick. Anyway, back to the point. 41 million people don't have the time to wait around for the Liberal Party to sort out its mess. It's so true. And it's not just Justin Trudeau who is lost in hubris and narcissism. The entire Liberal Party supported him the entire way to break our nation. Just a couple little statistics. Trudeau promises affordable housing for Canadians. I don't even know where I picked this up. It's the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, I guess. The fact is, what you can get for $300,000 in the United States is a palace. And you can't buy a shed for $300,000 in our major cities. He completely broke it. And his solution is, we're going to target these pricks that have Airbnbs. How much money people poured into these investments, and the government celebrated these investments. And then all of a sudden they flip their script and they're like, yep, the short-term rentals are the problem. It's not the mass immigration, which, by the way, there's a lot of people out there, even since the Jordan Peterson interview, who have said that Pierre Poilievre has not addressed the issue of over-immigration in Canada. He addressed it directly in that interview, saying the numbers are too high, they have to go down, and the temporary foreign workers have to go back. The international student program has to be revised, and they got to go back. And this government, as terrible as they are, have already indicated that the 4 million people whose visas expire in 2025 have to go back. That's a good start. And that will go a long way, a lot further than targeting some poor. I'm just thinking of the people who have, they've worked hard. They bought their house in 2009 at the low, which is when you should have got into the market. They worked hard. They ended up getting a second property. They renovated it so that they could get some income on the side. Do you think it's easy for people who own Airbnbs? Do you think it's easy for them to make money? Airbnb takes a chunk. The people that rent the place out can destroy the place, utterly destroy the place. And then you got to go through legals. Like, even renters and landlords, the rights, specifically in Ontario and other provinces in this country, the rights that tenants have over landlords can be absolutely punitive and absurd. The tenant has no risk. The landlord has all the risk. And I'm not trying to say that there isn't foreign investment and a problem in this country with money flowing in and bidding up the market. But like, you want to target Airbnbs? That's what you want to talk about? It's just absurd. And maybe it's absurd because all this government knows how to do is grow the public service. The statistic, like 2015, we had 260,000 federal employees. Now we have 360,000. That's like an over 30% growth. It's just, why? Why do we need such a huge bureaucracy? Maybe the question is actually, maybe it answers itself. Because we're not going to have a government at a time when our sovereignty is threatened. The bureaucracy is all we have. If Donald Trump wants to pick up the phone and talk to somebody in the government, who's he going to call? Maybe he'll call the Treasury. Maybe he'll call the Bank of Canada. Maybe he'll call the Canada Revenue Agency, because those people might actually have an idea of what's going on in the country. Like, I never imagined a party and a government, this Liberal NDP government, could make me have sympathy for the Canada Revenue Agency. If it wasn't for the CERB that they dropped on them and said, just give out all this money and we'll sort out who qualifies later, and then we're going to task you with getting it back, and we're not going to tell you how you're going to do it. We're just going to direct you to do it. Or if it was the business loans they gave out during COVID, the same thing. Same thing. They got to sort out this big mess. Right up to recently, there's other things that went on, but right up to recently, with this proposed GST holiday, it just created this huge bookkeeping problem for businesses and for the Canada Revenue Agency. And it's like, I can't believe I've got sympathy for this. Like, I actually have sympathy for the bureaucrats, because the government has done such a bad job managing this country. And now we're going to have a leadership vacuum at a time when we need leadership the most. And we don't just need Liberal leadership. We need new leadership. We need an election. And guess what? We're not going to get one. We're not going to get one. April, May, June, how far are we going to kick the ball? Is this the excuse that Jagmeet needs? Now, his pension is vested. Guaranteed now. We got to pay for him for life. It's just sick. It's so sick. Every opportunity, that hypocritical Singh, every opportunity he had to bring this government down and actually be opposition, to do the things that he virtue signals every single day online, to say that the Liberals are bad and they're evil and they do this and they do that and they do this, and every opportunity he had, some dozen opportunities, I think it's about 11 or 12, he just voted to keep them in office. Because he is a worse hypocrite than Justin Trudeau ever thought of being. Anybody who's voting left, you should vote Liberal. You should unite around the Liberal Party, because that guy at least Justin Trudeau walks with purpose. At least Justin Trudeau has the courtesy to show up and lie in your face and smile at you as you, I mean, he goes to these, he shows up in Alberta and he just gets insulted, and people tell him the truth and he just smiles and waves. Like, there's almost something there you got to respect. There is nothing about Jagmeet Singh I respect. Nothing at all. Absolute hypocrisy. He gets ratioed harder than any politician on the world stage. No one gets ratioed like Jagmeet Singh. He's terrible. The NDP is going to try and make the case that the left-wing vote needs to unite around them as the alternative when they have been in government this entire time. It's sick and disgusting. But how long is it going to take? Does Jag actually help pull the government down in March? Or do we got to wait for a liberal leader? Are we going to be voting for an interim leader in the election, or do we have to wait for them to go through their process? Is Jagmeet going to support that? And so we kick the ball right to October before we actually get a decent government in place that can deal with the Americans? You try to take this country seriously. I try to take this country seriously. I've got a Canadian flag as my background. It's smoky, but it's still there. It's ephemeral. It's a little busted up, but it's still there. Try to take this country seriously. It's impossible. We spend billions of dollars over what we take in. We're spending our children's future away, and what are we doing with it? We're building gay shrines in Ottawa. Rainbow flag sidewalks everywhere. We're like stuff that is useless for building a country. It doesn't. We demean the family. We demean life. The cult of death is completely taken over in this place. And now they might have damaged things enough that the Americans can completely take down the nation. If they want to walk in here and take it over, if they want to bring us to our knees, the power is theirs to do so. We have denationalized to such an extent, we don't have a military that's capable of even defending ourselves. There was a case in the 1990s. We used to have conversations about this in school. Well, everybody else was out, you know, doing fun things. I was talking about a book called Exoneration. Maybe some of you will remember it. There was a sequel. I can't remember the name of the sequel. It was about how the Canadian military, the Americans wanted to come in and they wanted to take our oil. And the Canadian military was tooled in such a way that we did so much damage to them when they came in. We couldn't win a war, but we could do so much damage to them coming in that it was a huge public relations mess for the Americans. And they ended up going home empty-handed. We can't even do that anymore. Ever since Diefenbaker, every prime minister has just given away Canadian sovereignty. It's like, and gutted the military, gutted our aerospace industry. To the point, and now we're giving away our military hardware to the Ukrainians so that they can fruitlessly fight the Russians in a war that they are losing. Billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that we don't have borrowed against my kids' names. Sick. It's sick. Forgive me if I get a bit heated, because if I actually trigger one of these coffee-lacking migraines, I want to make sure it's worthwhile, because last night was devastating. I got a little heated just talking about this stuff last night with my wife, and my head was just pounding when I'm done. So if I'm going to have to go through that again, I want it to be good. Man. And then people talk about maybe it's time for the country to break up. Maybe we should have separate regions and states. Look at this. Look at this graphic. It's so simple. This was put out by Scott Moe, the equalization schedule for 25 and 26. The West is getting, I don't want to use the R word, we're getting taken advantage of. We're getting taken advantage of big time. We're constantly getting taken advantage of. And when I was living in Ontario, I recognized that this was an unfair system. The biggest, most economically powerful provinces are getting subsidized by us. Quebec laughs at us. They take advantage of this federation for their own maximal benefit. Why are they getting $13 billion from the rest of the country? Why? Quebec is resource rich. They're a rich province. They are free to use the notwithstanding clause whenever they want. They have language laws. They have religious heads covering laws. Nobody lifts a finger in protest when Quebec does whatever it wants. But Ford, a man I don't like at all, Ford uses the notwithstanding clause to end a strike, and it's the end of the world. Scott Moe wants to use the notwithstanding clause to stop predators from preying on your kids, and it's the end of the world. Everybody just forgets about Quebec. Cult Montreal, this pathetic X page, which just promotes Quebecois propaganda all the time. We're talking about Pierre Poilievre. They're always down on Pierre Poilievre. I just think Cult Montreal, I think the city that you're named after in Quebec would look real good in their own country a lot of the time, especially when you consider the backdrop. This pathetic federation that we're in. We have no power as voters. We can't control our judiciary. We can't elect our Senate. We can't do anything about parliamentarians that we send up the river to go govern for us. Trudeau has made a joke out of us. His party has made a joke out of us. Jagmeet Singh has held the entire nation hostage so that he can vest his pension. And you want me to feel national pride all of a sudden? That's the other thing. It's so absurd. We haven't been allowed to have a nation. We have been told this is a post-national state. When we did our big Canada Day anniversary, we couldn't even have our flag. They had to make this multicolored thing in favor of multiculturalism. We celebrate India. We celebrate we celebrate every ethnic group except for Canada. Canada is not allowed to have an identity. Everything is division. And now all of a sudden, because we're under threat from Donald Trump, we're supposed to have national identity again. What is our national identity? Is it simply that we're not American? Is that enough to base a nation on? Is that all we got left? Define for me what Canada is. I don't think you're allowed to. Because when we had a Canada-defining movement, the Freedom Convoy, we arrested them, we demeaned them, we demolished them, and we destroyed them. The only movement that is proud, that was proud to display the Canadian flag. So, when my friends on the right and my friends on the left, who probably don't consider themselves my friends, when they... Hopefully my microphone's on. It certainly looks like it's on. But I'm just noticing there's a color off over here. So maybe I'll wrap this up. When they demean people who are actually in favor of the Americans taking over, I don't think you should be so judgmental. There's a lot of reasons for people to feel that way. There's a lot of reasons for people to feel separatist tendencies. Why is it that it's only the West that gets demeaned when we talk about separatism over here, but the Quebec has parties dedicated to the goal? They're going to lead the opposition because the Liberals have made such a mess. They're going to be across the aisle from the Conservatives when we finally get over this wave of narcissism and we get an actual government. The separatists are going to lead the official opposition in this country. And you want to judge other people for separatist tendencies or wanting to leave the Federation? Man, check yourself. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.